Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Amateur or ham radio operators have been around for more than a century, and it can be easy to take for granted this role of communication, which began as Morse code, growing into transmitted messages with a range that began from just city blocks to across the country, eventually across the Atlantic, and even the moon. Thousands of these licensed amateur radio operators still exist today, including here in Northern California, and they play an important role during emergencies and disasters. This weekend is the continuation of a nearly century-old tradition, a radio relay among tens of thousands of operators spanning parts of North America. Jay Ballinger is the emergency coordinator for the Sacramento Amateur Radio Emergency Services, also known as ARES, and Jojo Melendres is a hospital amateur radio team, a HeartNet coordinator, and they're joining us ahead of the American Radio Relay League's Field Day, which is the most popular on-the-air event, and it is held every year in the United States and Canada and takes place this weekend. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Pleasure to meet you, Vicky.
So I think the big question, how did you both get involved in amateur radio? Jay, I'll start with you.
Oh, boy. I think for many of us, maybe you had a grandparent or other relative who was a ham radio operator, and it was just very cool. They had these cool radios, big antennas, and there are aspects of our hobby that are still your grandfather's ham radio, but there's new facets to our hobby as well. We can send text-like messages with our radio. We can send email-like messages with our radio. There's so many nooks and crannies of our hobby. There's plenty there to explore and keep you busy throughout your lifetime.
Yeah, how about you, Jojo?
Well, I was intrigued with amateur radio when I was still a young child. It's still back in the Philippines when youngsters use amateur radio to support local security. They put radios in their cars and transmit information back and forth from faraway places. And then right now, I was looking for volunteer opportunities for my daughter when she applies for college. And I found out that radio plays a central role in many organizational activities. So I checked out amateur radio. I tried it. And I'm licensed. I'm enjoying it.
Good. How do you explain amateur radio to someone who's new to it and doesn't know much about it?
Amateur radio is practically the use of an equipment that is governed and licensed by the Federal Communications Commission.
The FCC.
The FCC. And you will have to study, practice some skills, and buy a radio. It's a volunteer effort. And you start being on the air, communicating with other hams around the world.
So what are your call signs? Because you have to have a call sign, right?
Right. Just like your station here, you identify about every hour with all the different transmitter call signs. Every ham radio operator is issued a call sign from the FCC. I am N6SAC, but we'll usually spell it out phonetically. November 6, Sierra Alpha Charlie.
Oh, and how about you, Jojo?
I still retain my original call sign, Kilo November 6, Hotel Tango Delta. And there can be vanity call signs for others.
Great. When it comes to ham, where did the word ham, where did it originate from? Do either of you know?
Well, AM in there for amateur radio, and it was a term of endearment from a long time ago, and we just kind of hung on to it because it's an easy name to remember. It's associated with us, and now folks just hear ham radio, and they kind of understand what you're talking about.
And you have to be licensed, right?
You do. There are different tests to take. There are currently three different tests, and each test just gives you more capabilities, more frequencies you can use, and more modes that you can communicate in. But the first test is pretty simple. All the questions are available to you. You can study every single question that's going to be on the test. You don't know which ones they're going to pick for the test. There's a little bit of math, but also understanding how to operate. So it's actually fairly simple to become licensed.
How many licensed hams do you think are there in the United States?
Well, I'll pick up that question. The ARRL recognizes about 700,000 hams in the United States, and 160,000 of them are ARRL members. You'd be surprised that in other countries like Japan, it's 1.4 million.
Wow, so very popular.
Yeah.
That's great. And ARRL is the American Radio Relay League. You both of you, as well as other radio operators, I mean, you guys play a role in emergencies and disasters. How do you stay connected with emergency communication? Jay, I'll start with you.
Sure. So we had the storms at the beginning of this year, and we had a lot of flooding and power outages. So if you're sitting at home imagining my internet's down, and what if the cell towers were down and you can't communicate anywhere, our radios still work. And our equipment runs off of simple 12-volt car batteries, so we can operate an entire weekend on a battery and communicate not just within town, but across the state and around the world. So we'll partner with, for example, the Sacramento County Office of Emergency Services. During those storms at the beginning of the year, we had direct radio communication with their emergency operations center. We could report flooding conditions and other power outage conditions and other hazards that were around our community.
And how could people stay connected with your call sign if their internet's down and they don't have a reliable way to get information during an emergency?
There are a number of different frequencies that we use as ham radio operators. Some are designed to be used in just a community like Sacramento County. And so as a ham radio operator, you would know which frequencies to listen in on. And we have repeaters that will also amplify your signal for you. And you can listen there and you can hear the traffic come back and forth from, let's say, the emergency operations center to the folks who are out observing all of the damage out in the community.
I mean, Jojo, there's a public service component to this as well, not just a hobby that you personally enjoy.
Yes, exactly. Amateur radio comes from all walks of life, from the military service, from the police agency, the government agencies, the hospitals. That's where we obtain our opportunities for practice on a nearly daily or quarterly basis. And since we get connections with the officials, with the doctors, with the lawyers, with the police and the schools, then we get to engage in organizational practices where we can train and participate in events. And it's also helpful that these are all voluntary. So people come with their passion to help others.
Yeah, and I'm just going back to when you said, like, in Japan, there's more than a million ham radio operators and just several thousand here in the United States. So it seems like there's a great opportunity to grow that. And it's an essential, it can be an essential tool for communication during emergencies.
Yes, so it's numbering 2 million across the globe. And it's as far as the North Pole to the South Pole and everywhere in between. So we communicate via radios and we exercise as much as daily. And it's a worldwide friendship deal kind of thing.
Yeah. So that brings me to this weekend, right? Because this weekend's a pretty big deal. It is the Field Day. Explain, how does it work?
Yeah, Field Day. So, of course, ham radio has its roots back in emergency communication service. It's great if at least once a year we can get out of the comfort of our spare bedroom or den or wherever we have, we still call it radio shacks, wherever we have our shacks set up, and take our equipment out to a field, out to a park, operate off of that 12-volt battery or maybe a portable generator, and operate for an entire 24 hours. And in doing that, it's also a great public outreach and engagement event. We invite the public to come watch, see us how we operate, and we'll let you get on the air as well. You don't have to be a ham radio operator to transmit on the radio as long as there's a ham radio operator there with you. And we would like to have the public come out and see what we do and enjoy our hobby as well.
What do you enjoy about it, Jojo?
Well, part of Field Day is the contesting part. And what hams do is to go out, make a camp out, do picnic, invite their friends and family members. They set up their stations in a less than ideal situation, and that simulates the emergency or crisis situation. So they don't have AC in the mountains. They use, as Jay mentioned, power supplies, car batteries, solar panels, even electric generators. And they set up antennas that keeps improving over time. So the HF frequencies for amateur radios can reach as far as the opposite side of the globe. And that involves points. If a government official visits the site, they get additional points. If a child visits the site and goes on there, that's additional point. If public media visits the site, that's additional point. So it's fun for everyone.
Yeah, and it's Saturday and Sunday, correct?
Yes, it starts at 11 o'clock in the morning of Saturday and ends about 2 p.m. It's actually more than 24 hours. It's 27 plus hours.
Great. Well, finally, you know, it would be easy to take this for granted, this form of communication. It's been around for such a long time, and especially when you have other ways of communicating, but learning from the both of you, I mean, it is still very instrumental, especially when other modes of communication goes down. I mean, what would it be like if amateur radio faded away?
Well, a lot of these agencies would lose this backup communication service, usually called auxiliary communication in the industry. And it's just the emergency backup. When all else fails, amateur radio still works. The ham frequencies work. Our radios work. And we can provide that essential extra communication on the back end to make sure that communication still flows while they try to resurrect their infrastructure so they can have normal communication restored again. At least at a minimum, we can pass voice messages, text-like messages, email-like messages to keep everybody connected.
Mm. Well, Jay and JoJo, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure.
Have a lot of fun this weekend.
Definitely.
Jay Ballinger is the emergency coordinator for the Sacramento Amateur Radio Emergency Services, also known as ARES. And JoJo Melendres is the hospital amateur radio team net coordinator. They join us ahead of American Radio Relay League's Field Day. It is the most popular on-the-air event. It is held every year in the United States and Canada and takes place this weekend. We have more information on our Insight page. Up next, Sacramento State President Robert Nelson is closing a chapter in leadership. I sat down with President Nelson ahead of his retirement. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.